This is Coffee Number 5. I'm your host, Lara Schmoisman. It's all about you and I want you to succeed. Download today my exclusive insider's guide to generating business relationships that last and turns into sales. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee Number 5. I'm so excited that we're here having coffee in this new season of Coffee Number 5. And as you know, I always pride myself on bringing the experts, people that I really will trust with my business, that people that I will go for advice. As you always know, I believe in giving. I believe in giving in mentorship. Once in a while, I don't care of giving free advice and talking to people. And I really believe that if you know what you're doing and you know where you're standing, you don't mind to share with others your knowledge. I think I told this story once, you know, before, but when I was starting production, I was a producer in my previous life, and I was told your phone book is the most valuable thing. So if you can get any phone number of any important people, actors, celebrities, whoever, you get them and you put it in your phone book. And if someone will give you their phone book, you say, yes, please, and you copy and you have it, because that information is gold. And you know what? After a while, I realized that's bullshit. I realized that nobody will pick up the phone if you don't know who you are and you didn't build a relationship with them and they didn't trust you. So today, I'm so excited that I got an incredible guest for you guys. I got Kasva Lucas. Hi, welcome to Coffee Number 5.
Hey, how are you? So yes, thank you so much for having me here. And this is really funny what you were, your intro I really liked. In Hungarian, we have a saying that if you want to get to know someone, look at their friends and look at their bookshelves, you know? So it also belongs to that. I mean, the list of people you can have in your phone book, right? That's one thing. What's more important are who are the people who are your friends? Who are the people who you can call and they actually answer, doesn't matter what, right?
Exactly.
And if you look at those groups of people, then you can really get to know someone. And if you can take a peek at their bookshelves, then you really get to know what they are interested in.
Oh my God, whoever look at my bookshelf, they would think I'm crazy because I can read anything that it comes to my hands.
You know what I was happy about? We just moved recently after 14 years, and I had the good fortune to reorganize all my books, and I have insane amount of books. And I realized I have a big chunk in my library written by people who I consider my friends. And that made me so happy.
You know? My God.
I'm like, yeah, it's big, because, you know, when you write a book, and, you know, I had the good fortune to write a book before, and that's when you really realize how much of an entry the writer allows you into their mind, into their head, into their headspace, their experiences, their life experience, right? And that's what, and if you haven't written a book, you don't really know the level of intimacy that individual, the writer, the author provides you through their book. And I think if everyone would write a book, they would realize, oh my God, I really have the entry into this individual's heart, into their mind. Right. And then suddenly you appreciate every single written piece much more.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's maybe a different subject.
I've been in this process of writing a book like forever. And it's always going back and forth. It's like how much you can explain, because when you're talking about facts in your life, in order to understand your life, they need to be in your shoes. So it's impossible basically to understand it. So you're trying to get that storytelling going. And you see what I did here. I brought up the subject that also you're a master of storytelling. And I was lucky enough that I was at one of your talks at Beauty Matter, which I loved. And that's when I approached you and I asked you, I want you in my podcast. And
thank you.
So tell me a little more about this art of storytelling and how important it is for your business and to run your own business.
Okay, so, well, I actually want to go further, because if you connect science and our ancient background as Homo sapiens, the species who we are, storytelling kind of falls in line, bringing these two different concepts together, which is basically what I love about what I do, to be able to bring science and, you know, our background, our ancestry, and find the overlaps there. And whatever overlaps, that's where I try to develop tools, you know, as a coach, as a guide. So storytelling, we know scientifically that the human brain learns most effectively when it's connected to some sort of stories, right? So storytelling, it's not about me as a coach or Hollywood or screenwriters. Storytelling is important to master to a good degree if you want to communicate properly to your kids, to your coworkers, to anyone in your life. Storytelling is the way how you can communicate what you desire for others to really understand, right? And the funny thing is, right up until about 99.9% of our evolutionary past as a species, that is how we taught others. This is how we exposed others to our own experiences. This is how we taught kids. This is how we kind of developed new capabilities, right? So storytelling is not just an idea, a luxury. It's a necessity for us as human beings. And luckily, because of my work, I guess, I have the luxury of having to be relatively decent at it.
You're more than decent. So,
well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, the funny thing is, Laura, you know, we haven't talked about this in the past, but I never really planned on doing what I'm doing, which is being a coach and an advisor for companies and individuals and teams. It just kind of ended up being this because I had a quite different idea what I wanted to do in life, which is basically I was very interested about physical capabilities. I was very interested about science and very interested about arts. All of these three things I started early on as when I was a kid to kind of dig in there. And, you know, society kind of gives you a framework, which most of us, when we are kids, we think with that framework. Society tells you, this is what you're supposed to do. And you, as a good kid, you're like, okay, so I'm going to work within those frameworks. Now, but what happened during the last 30 years, the framework was kind of busted open because we, you know, have like the internet, the social media, to all kinds of stuff. So jobs that we do today didn't exist 30, 40 years ago.
Well, my job didn't exist. Actually, my first degree is in screenwriting, and I'm so happy that I have that degree. And anyone who wants to do marketing, I suggest them to do screenwriting because it really taught me how to think about how my target audience will receive a message as a character. And that shows you how important this is, storytelling in every to get to your market audience.
I mean, I completely agree with you. And, you know, I would have never, if I would have wanted to be a coach, I would have never learned about storytelling because seemingly it's not necessarily an overlap, right? Coach is all about problem solving, you know, at least on the surface. But deep down, it's really about trying to help people to get something, and they can only really get it if it's connected to a story, you know? And so it's all about storytelling. So the only reason I'm decent about storytelling, because I have the background, I actually have a degree in performance art. And I went to Juilliard and all kinds of different places, right? Where as a sort of like a side gig, looking back now at my life, it really wasn't my main focus, but it taught me so much, which I can utilize with everyone, with my kids, with my clients, with my friends, with my wife, right? Because storytelling, it just makes everything easily accessible and also fun while you're teaching, while you're sharing your experience.
I always try to put things in place, and I use storytelling a lot to explain my team and my clients about situations, because I believe that when you get into the story and you understand the players at the and the twist and the conclusion of the story, you understand better the problem. So I always use storytelling as part of explaining situations. That in many cases, and my husband will always tell me, always you have to tell the story to explain things. And I say, yes, I feel like people will understand better. But at the same time, I wonder what is to work with a coach that help businesses how can you help business? How can you help mm-hmm. those individuals in business using storytelling and all the science that you combine?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's an interesting question. You know, as I told you, I never really planned on becoming a coach, but I've been coaching for over 30 years now, which makes me sound so old. I'm not that old. I was just somehow I fell into this early on and ended up keep making sense of continuing it. And eventually I started.
The math doesn't compute there.
I know. Well, that's good. That's basically means I maybe understand about anti-aging something, which is not a bad thing to know these days. Well, people are interested, you know?
If it makes you feel better, when I started my first job in radio was more than 30 years ago. So
good. So we both understand about anti-aging something, I think.
Or we started really early.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. You know, answering your question about storytelling and coaching and advising companies and individuals, you know, I've fallen into guiding and coaching people who are extremely successful and very wealthy. I didn't really set out for that, but that's how it happened. And I know it sounds like a little bit ridiculous of a thing, but it is just what it is. So when people ask me, well, how did you get that? You know, I mean, I had the good fortune to sit with one of the ex-heads of the FBI, head of one of the major banks in the world, and, you know, a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and me, the four of us working on a project together, right? And I was there as an advisor for this particular project. And I was sitting there, I was looking and thinking about it for a second. I was like, how did I manage doing this? I really need to dig in there and understand, because I certainly did not plan it. I mean, I love it. Of course, who wouldn't like to be at the table like that, where people who are so much on the top of their game are really thinking about a project and I can sit there and trying to add my own wisdom to it, right? And I think the way how this works is like that. People who are successful usually are not talked honestly to. You know, everyone wants something from people who are successful. And if you're not like that, and somehow you find a way to be authentic and be willing to be honest, and you provide the proper feedback loop to them, which usually successful people don't get because everyone wants something from them. So people usually try to tell them what they want to hear versus what truly their opinion is. And somehow I fell into this lucky situation that I was always able to be very honest to people, you know? I guess that's what ended up working during the past 30 years for me. And that's what made me realize that what is the downside of success, which is an interesting subject. It's really, really interesting to me because the downside of success is a broken feedback loop. And what happens in any system when there's a broken feedback loop, there is toxicity that starts to happen. If you just look at plants, if you look at mushrooms, if you look at the animal kingdom, if you look at the human body, if you look at systems, when there is no proper feedback loop, there is a toxicity start to happen, which ends up killing the system itself. So being successful, you start to put people around you who tells you yes all the time, you know, or people are scared telling you because of the way how you conduct yourself, what they honestly think, you are killing the feedback loop from your company, from your family, from your friendships, your social, you know, connections.
Well, let's put in, I mean, success comes with a price. Any kind of success.
Yeah. You know what? No. I disagree with you, Laura, because we have to define success. You know, the way how I define success is the following. If you make a lot of money, my book, I'm sorry, it's not success. Because the most miserable people who I've met in my entire life are not the people who don't have money. The people who have extremely a huge amount of funds and money available to them, and they were the most miserable people. So in my book, as a coach, that's not success.
Neither for me.
Right? So success, when it comes to the price, that means you have a holistic success in your life. Holistic success does not come with a price. Because not making more money, but making as much as you need in your life and what you're happy with, right? that means that you don't necessarily worry about making more. So it's not, you don't feel like it came with a sacrifice, or, you know, you don't miss out on anything.
Well, but you were saying, you know, like, that kind of success, like, for example, you're going to have people that comes and always want something from you.
Well, success based on
that perception of financial success.
Terms. Yeah, not, that's why I said, yeah.
Or not only success in financial terms, when you achieve something, you have envy, toxicity. You have a lot of factors that they're a price, that if you will be not in the limelight, it wouldn't be, people will see and somehow admire you or hate you, it would be not coming with those little prices that you have to, because that's the human nature.
Yeah, I mean, I think, when it comes to our society today, our Western society, let's talk about that, you know, because that's what we have daily experiences with. Success, the idea of success, most people connect to money and career, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one really values on a societal level if someone has an amazing relationship with their spouse. They're like, oh, that's nice. But no one is like, you know what? Yeah, I'm at 20. I'm going to prepare and focus to make myself capable of developing an amazing spousal relationship. No one thinks like that at 20, but they think about, oh my God, I'm going to have to really figure out what is the best company so I can succeed and make a lot of money, right? But you and I know, what is the thing that really creates the qualitative experience in most of your days? Well, it's your relationship with your spouse. It's your relationship with your kids, your friends, your coworkers, right? And how well, how much you can focus on those things, because if you're constantly worried about your lower back hurting, right, you're not going to be able to focus on nearly as well to all other aspects of your life. So your physical health is equally important for you to figure out. And then, of course, you got to make money, because if you don't make money, it will, at least to a certain point, it will affect your happiness quota, your happiness level, right? You need to be able to succeed in your career to a certain degree, because that's how you express yourself as an active human being. So if you want to succeed, it requires a lot of multifaceted focuses that you need to split yourself up, right? And that needs to be based on your value system.
But isn't that like an ecosystem? I always talk about the marketing ecosystem, and I believe that my ecosystem, my personal ecosystem, is my team, having a good relationship with my team, that my team has a good relationship with them, and that we have an extremely good company culture, because their values that are important for me. It's the same values that having my good relationship, my healthy relationship with my spouse and with my children, even with my dog. That's having your ecosystem in place to everything to get to be balanced, like the world, the sun, the moon, and the planets.
Well, exactly. But how often does that happen? Because I tell you, you know, the people, let's just talk about the individuals I work with, since we are talking, it seems like, more about the individuals, right?
Yes.
So the individuals I work together with are people who are extremely well off when it comes to society's eyes. Yet they reach out to me and say, you know, and this is not something I heard once or twice or 10 times, but many, 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 many times, which is like, Chaba, listen, I am making a lot of money. Everyone looks at me and believes and gives me, values me as in my career, what I created. I have my beautiful wife, my kids, I have my Porsche, I have my beautiful house. And I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you that I'm so scared because I don't feel like I have it. I don't know what I'm missing, right? And that's usually how a lot of times my first time meeting with people start. That, you know, I have everything that society told me to get. I don't feel like I don't feel it. I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? I have it all. And I don't feel like I have it all. Why is that? Right? So that's the problem. That, yes, of course, the idea of having good family, good career, making enough money, making good money and all that stuff, in theory, it's lovely, but no one really practices it. And why not? Because in school, that's not what schools are teaching us. Absolutely. That's what schools prepare us for.
You are getting there in a whole different conversation that I can be discussing for hours. I truly believe that our education system is preparing us to work in a cubicle without a window. And that drives me crazy.
And that's at best, you know, at best, because, it's not for life. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't like to look at things ever that things are bad or not perfect. I'm just looking at always everything as part of a process, you know. And when it comes to processes, I like to look at, okay, where do we want to take the processes? And let's try to connect the now to the future, right, of what we want to develop, right? And that way, it's easier to have a more positive mental mindset as opposed to try to look at what's bad right now today, try to understand why is it bad, right? I'm not saying there's no value to that, but unfortunately, the amount of time people spend on, let's say, spending time with psychologists, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a shrink, a therapist, what they usually do, they try to dissect and understand where all the problems coming from. But when you think about, if you just think about something that happened to you, something bad, what does that do to you? It actually makes you, takes you right back there. And energetically, it makes you vibrate in a way that it reminds you of that very thing in the past. Now, there's the balance between focusing on where your pattern's coming from, right? It is important, but you know what my problem, my real problem is with that? People don't remember the past the way it happened. Yeah. They remember the past as they kind of left a certain event.
Remember how it affected us in the past.
At the very end of the event. Like if I tell you, Laura, to go for an hour comfortable run, and let's say you have actually the capabilities to do that, which I know you do, but maybe someone else doesn't. So, but let's say the task is for you to go out for 1 hour, a nice and easy run. You can only breathe through your nose and really taking it easy with it. You just need to take in nature and enjoy yourself, right? And let's say you do that for 58 minutes and you're like, oh my God, I'm feeling so good. But after all, this is a workout. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just give it everything I got for the last 2 minutes. And you actually do that and you go for it like a maniac and your lungs are burning and your muscles are burning by the end and you're done with the hour. And you stop and you're like, oh my God, I had a great workout. I feel fantastic, right? Now, when I ask you, how was your workout? Let's say a week later, you're like, oh, that was good. I really worked up a great workout. It was very hard. I mean, my muscles were burning and it was great. And, you know, I did the hour the way you asked, but it was, you know, at the end, I really pushed it hard, right? So what is that you're going to remember? Are you going to remember the 58 minutes nice and easy or the very end, how you felt? And this is why, you know, I always tell people when it comes to experiences that cerebrally, you kind of remember things, but emotionally, what you connect with is the way how you left the experience. And that's important to remember, because if you had a bad experience with someone, you're not going to remember the good times. You're going to remember the very end, the bad times, right? If you get divorced, you're not going to remember the first 10 years when everything was working well, you're going to remember the last 10 years, right? So when you try to develop your future with that individual, we pay attention to all the bad, right? As opposed to, well, no, there were some really good times too, but let's just focus on where we want to get to, which is like, I'm not going to be together with this person, but I want to raise my kids with this person, you know, still, because we share them. So what is the ideal outcome, right?
How can we change that mindset?
The change the mindset, well, that's where our tribes, our families, our educational system would need to come in, you know, because until we are not taught that early on, we will pattern for different way of looking. Because early on when we are kids, right up until about 14, we don't have the capability of making decisions really about our actions. We don't have the brain yet. Our brain didn't develop to the place where we can do things and then reflect on our actions and make changes. It only starts to happen around 12 and 14. Until that point, all you do is you're downloading patterns from your environment, your parents, your peers, your teachers, all of these things from around you. and you develop their behavior patterns, and you give that back through your own behavior. So it's always funny when people are really pissed off at their kids and screaming at them, and the kids are like less 10 and they act out, and the parents are really pissed at the kid, and they don't realize that, well, the kid is just giving you the patterns that they downloaded from their environment. So you got to take a good look at yourself and the environment that you created to the kid, because without the adjusting those environmental, you know, aspect of the kid's life, you're not touching on the patterns. But 14 on, you actually have now the brain in your life where you can reflect on your own actions and make changes based on your best wisdom. The best wisdom, maybe this is not something I want, so I can change it theoretically. But since no one's telling us that, no one is doing it. Everyone just continues with the patterns they downloaded in the first 14 years of their lives. And they start to behave and act continuously based on those patterns. And they go to the schools, they start to work the way how the patterns were. And that's how people end up with lives where they come to me at 40, 50 and say, I created this life and I'm succeeding, but I don't know why. It just doesn't feel like it's the thing for me. It's because, unfortunately, you just acted on the patterns just like the vast majority of your people, as opposed to taking the patterns, re-examine them once you have the capability after age of 14, and using your best wisdom to keep making adjustments in your life, taking account your best wisdom, your dreams, your desires, your wants, right? And then keep making adjustments in your actions. That's not what we do. There's no system that tells you that, hey, you can do that. Because school, what does school do? School basically tells you, don't run, don't scream, don't fight, don't be too loud. All of those things, as opposed to just develop your authentic self, right? Because it's difficult. It's not easy. So anyway,
it's very difficult. Here, but... And that's why one of the mottos of my company, The Darl, is we break the rules. And why we break, we break the rules, we raise the bar. But why we break the rules, and people think I do something different or extraordinary. No, we have the same tools as everyone else. But how do I break the rules is the relationship that we have with our clients and with our team. And that's where we are taught to have certain relationships and the way that certain relationships need to be conducted. And that's where I think that we need to learn to have comfortable relationships with whoever we're interacting.
Yeah, I mean, breaking the rules is essential for a human being to learn. And unfortunately, society oftentimes doesn't create the space for that, you know? But without breaking the rules, you won't be able to become authentic, because you and every individual, right, is a separate individual. So you need to express yourself authentically. That's the only thing you're going to be comfortable with in life. But that basically means some rules you will need to break. And, and this is what's so difficult. That brings the duality of our world into action. Because duality is everything in our world, right? Success, lack of success. Money, no money. Possibilities, no possibilities. Keeping with the rules, breaking the rules. All of those things are necessary for a human being to experience to actually be able to lead an authentic, balanced life. Like if you always had the possibilities, because let's say you were born into a very wealthy family, right? And you always had the possibilities to do whatever you wanted. That person, in theory, has all the possibilities, but because they never experience the lack of possibilities, they never value all the possibilities. The only way you can value the possibilities when you had, at one point, none of them, right? So that's a dualistic way of balancing your life. And as a coach, I like to make people be aware of that. So whenever you have a bad experience with someone, understand that, well, that provides me the opportunity to really have a good experience with another person. Because that's the only way you can witness goodness if you had the bad stuff. The only reason we can look at an individual and look at them that, oh, what a beautiful person this is, look-wise, because we saw people who are not beautiful.
Yep.
Therefore, beauty and the lack of it belongs together. You cannot separate them. They are one whole thing. So embracing duality, breaking the rules, and keeping with the rules is the art of living. That's what, you know, mastering the art of living is all about, you know?
Absolutely. Kashva, I always misspell, mispronounce
Chava. It. Chava. Yeah, it's Chava. A Hungarian name, Lara, so don't even worry. I got from Hubba, Baba, Kaba, all kinds of things throughout my entire life, and I like it because I like to see people suffer.
Yes. Well, imagine me with the Lara. I got Lara, Sarah, Clara, Laura. And my last name, let's not even start it. But thank you so much for being here. Coffee number 5 it was amazing to have you here. And thank you for sharing and keep breaking the rules.
Thank you so much. Very much appreciate it. You know, and all the best to you, to the podcast going forward.
Okay. And to you guys, I will see you next week with more Coffee number 5.
Find everything you need at larashmoisman.com. or in the episode notes right below. Don't forget to subscribe.
It was so good to have you here today. See you next time. Catch you on the flip side. Ciao, ciao.